Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It is written, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It is written, yea, Father, for so it was well-pleasing in thy sight. It is written, but I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Now when John heard in the prison the works of the Christ, he sent by his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that cometh, or look we for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and tell John the things which ye hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good tidings preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall find no occasion of stumbling in me. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus and his sword, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus on his throne, riches in glory all his own, more of his kingdom sure increase, more of his coming, Prince of Peace.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message from God's Word from Matthew chapter 11, more about Jesus. In this chapter, there was a man who wanted to know more and more about Jesus. John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask Jesus, art thou he that cometh, or look we for another? John had been hearing a lot about Jesus, but now John wants to hear from Jesus. You can hear a lot of things on the radio and television about Jesus that did not come from Jesus or anywhere in his word. John was confused and he wanted to hear from Jesus. He had told the people that he that cometh after me will use an axe to cut down unfruitful fruit trees. He said he will come with a fan to blow away all chaff from the grain. And not only that, but he said something about baptizing in fire. John, shut up in the prison, heard about the activities of the Lord and sent his disciples with this question, art thou he that cometh, or look we for another? John, in prison, had begun to doubt. He was hearing about Jesus, but where was the axe? Where was the fan? Where was the fire that he had prophesied? If this is the Messiah, what am I doing here in jail? Sometimes we too may have doubts. If Jesus is the Messiah, why did I lose my job? Why am I sick? Why am I in pain? When you also have any doubts, like John, about spiritual matters, the best thing to do is go to the Word of God. and learn more and more about Jesus. Somewhere between the covers of the Word of God you will find the answer. Art thou he that cometh, or look we for another? John heard about the works of the Christ, and he wanted to know more about him. This seems to be the most natural thing to do. If I heard about someone today who had walked on water and could raise the dead, I would be curious to learn about him. Many are aware today of the fantastic lifestyle of Jesus and have no interest in searching the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to learn more about such an unusual person. Jesus answered by telling them to return and tell John what they saw and heard. Several things were mentioned. He said, "Tell him the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good tidings preached to them. And the blessed is he whosoever findeth no occasion of stumbling in me." Many people stumble over Jesus. Peter refers to Jesus as the cornerstone, the rock of offense. They stumble at the word, being disobedient. There is no place where people stumble over Jesus any more than at the point of his divinity and his identity as the crucified and risen Son of God who died for our sins and by whose blood we are redeemed. In this cluster of things that Jesus mentioned, one thing stands out above the rest. The poor have good tidings preached to them. The rest of the things were miracles. Why was preaching good tidings added to this list of miracles? At second glance, preaching the gospel does belong in the group of miracles, because the preaching of Jesus was just as big a miracle as anything else that he did. His message was a supernatural message, because it came down from heaven like the rushing of a mighty wind, and they preached that day as a spirit gave them utterance. These are days when people want to get in on the miracles. Fake healers are everywhere. Did you ever know of a fake healer to invite people to come to his services and watch him walk on the water or raise the dead? Obviously not. If you really want to get in on the miracles, the best way to do that is to preach the gospel. And when someone responds to the Lord and repents and is immersed for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Lord works the miracle of salvation, the greatest miracle of all. The song says it for us. It took a miracle to hang the world in place. It took a miracle to put the stars in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. This message they took to John would be the best way to tell him more and more about Jesus. Then Jesus began to say a lot of things in this chapter that would tell us also more and more about Jesus. As the disciples of John went on their way, Jesus asked the multitude, "What went ye out into the wilderness to behold? A reed shaken by the wind?" Ladies and gentlemen, a reed grows by the riverbank and will bend whichever way the wind blows. Jesus said, "Is this the kind of a preacher you want to hear? There is a disease that has been infected the brotherhood for a long time. It is very infectious. No one has ever seemed to be able to identify that germ until now. Recently, I looked through the microscope of faith and was able to see it plainly. That funny-looking germ is called the bends. Our preachers have become infected with benditis. The symptom is whenever a preacher begins to sway back and forth as he preaches. His message is determined by whichever way the wind is blowing. I graduated from Bible College in the year 1945. The president urged the class to remain firm in our preaching of the gospel. He said if we did not, it would be with chagrin that we would someday stand before our master. Now in the early part of the 21st century, over 60 years later, I am preaching the same gospel with the same terms of pardon that I preached in 1945. There have been some great changes in the world since that far-off day. But, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord has not changed His word. Many gauge their message by what is popular at the moment. Many preachers I personally know have switched their emphasis on the biblical response to the gospel and have come down with a severe case of benditis. Then Jesus repeated the question and said, "Were you looking for a man wearing soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft raiment are in kings' houses. John wore a camel's hair coat, ate locusts and wild honey. Hear him as he preached one time and said concerning King Herod, 'It is not lawful for thee to have her.'" Herod had stolen his brother Philip's wife. But ladies and gentlemen, did John have to remind him of that? Why should he be so negative? He could have preached a positive message and left that out. And he could have prolonged his ministry. He would not have lost his head. If he had only let that part out, he could have been around to help Peter preach the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost. You see, it really was not expedient for John to say, "It is not lawful for there to have her." Expedient means it wasn't good for business for John to say it. You see, the trouble with John is he did not live in the soft raiment syndrome. There was nothing anyone had he wanted. He did not play politics to vie for a prominent place in the hierarchy of the brotherhood. All he wanted to do was preach the word of God. May his tribe increase. We have said it many times before, and we say it again. It is just as disloyal to the word of God to leave something out as it is to contradict the word of God. Don't expect things to change, because today we enjoy living in the king's house, wearing the king's clothes, and driving the king's car. And then Jesus said it again from another angle. "What went ye out to see? A prophet? I say unto you, much more than a prophet." Jesus said that John was the greatest. He was the greatest of all the prophets because he had been predicted that he would come in the Old Testament. And then he not only predicted the coming of the Messiah himself, he actually saw him and proclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Remember, Jesus said that he that is but little in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Greater because we have a greater message today. John could never tell people what Peter told them to do on the day of Pentecost. That plan of salvation had not been given, so John could not preach the message of the new covenant that began after the death, burial, and ascension of Jesus. Then Jesus said something else that tells us a little more about Jesus. He said, "Whereunto shall I liken this generation?" He said, "You are like children sitting in the marketplace, who pipe unto their fellows and say, 'We piped unto you, and ye did not dance. Then we wailed, and ye did not mourn.'" The Lord's description of his followers is perfect for today. They are like children playing in the marketplace, playing in the mall. The church is a spectator sport. Attend the services and see the spectacle. If the music has a good beat, And if the program is a good show, and a few refreshments won't hurt the situation, we will return next Sunday. Like King Herod, Jesus is regarded as a sideshow. Herod wanted to see Jesus do a miracle. When the Lord would not oblige, he got rid of him and sent him back to Pilate. Actually, some looked upon the crucifixion as a good show. Matthew says, "And they sat and watched him there." That describes the church today. Many come to see the show. Put on a good show and we will be back. The church has become a playground instead of a battleground. Shalt thou be exalted into heaven? That's what Jesus also said. And that sounds completely out of character. It says he began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Does that sound like Jesus? Upbraiding? Jesus is loving and gentle. He would never upbraid anyone. Actually, ladies and gentlemen, no prophet, apostle, or modern-day preacher ever said anything any more harsh than what Jesus said when he upbraided Bethsaida, Chorazin, and Capernaum. We need to remember that there is such a thing as tough love. Love is not always uttering sweet, gentle things. He upbraids us for our own good. Those who think otherwise have a warped and twisted idea about the real Son of God. Woe to thee, Chorazin! Woe to thee, Bethsaida! Think of it. Bethsaida was the hometown of Peter, Andrew, and Philip, at least three of the apostles of Jesus. Is it not unthinkable that Jesus would say, woe to the people in the hometown of three apostles, and then woe unto thee, Capernaum, shalt thou be exalted into heaven? This question was a good question to ask concerning Capernaum. Capernaum was the headquarters of Jesus after he left Nazareth. Jesus worked more miracles here than anywhere else, as far as we know. They had every reason to be exalted into heaven. They had been signally honored. Jesus said that if the mighty works had been done in Sodom that were done in Capernaum, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. What a terrible thought for those who reject the divinity of Jesus. More tolerable for the land of the Sodomites than for Capernaum. Sodom had been destroyed over 1,800 years before that time, and Jude said in verse 7, they are suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. What a terrible thought that there were people who had been damned 4,000 years ago who will be better off on the day of judgment than people who reject the divinity of Christ today. Hear him again. Thou, Capernaum, thou shalt go down unto Hades. Capernaum was blessed above all other places. Great works took place there. The healing of the man let down through the roof. Also his speech on the bread of life after the feeding of the 5,000. The healing of the centurion's servant. The healing of the man with the unclean demon and many others. All of these miracles had the same effect. Rejection of the Son of God. Capernaum should have been the easiest place in the world to go to heaven from, but it became the easiest place in the world to go to hell from. In a similar manner, we have been greatly blessed. America has heard more gospel than any other place. Mighty works of God have been done in our streets. His word has been heard from coast to coast. America is the easiest place in the world to go to heaven from. And it is the easiest place in the world to go to hell from. Thou, Capernaum, thou, America, Now, in conclusion, after Jesus pronounced judgment on the unrepentant cities, he raised his voice in prayer. I thank thee, O Lord, heaven of earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and understanding, and didst reveal them unto babes. Yea, Father, for so it was well-pleasing in thy sight. Some things are hidden from us, and we will never know in this life. The actual date of the second coming of Jesus is hidden from us. Jesus said so. He said, No man knoweth the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. The apostles got a little inquisitive about some coming things, and Jesus told them, It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father hath set within his own authority. Some things are hidden from us. Why does God allow earthquakes, cyclones, hurricanes, and volcanoes to destroy human life? That's what all the talk show hosts ask preachers on television every time it happens. The answer has to be, I don't know. God has hidden some things from us. Then again, some things are neither hidden nor revealed. God leaves some things for us to find out for ourselves. Paul surely could have made good use of an SUV on his missionary tours. And what a blessing a laptop computer would have been when he wrote the epistle to the Romans. Why did not Moses fax Pharaoh a message, Let my people go? Can you imagine the apostles with cell phones? What a blessing for Peter, if he could have used his cell phone at the feeding of the 5,000. Hey, John, I'm over here in Section A. Do you need any more fish back there in Section Y? All right, I'll send Andrew over with a fresh batch. And by the way, John, the Lord said, if you have anything left over, put it in a basket and bring it over here. Some things are hidden, some things are revealed, and some things are neither hidden nor revealed. God put the oil in the ground and the iron and all the other elements, and he lets us find out a few things for ourselves. The plan of salvation, however, has been revealed to us and is easy to understand. The Word of God says, What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. The Great Commission, as recorded by Mark, says, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Belief and baptism have been joined together by that conjunction and what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repentance and baptism have been joined together by that conjunction and what the Holy Spirit hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Some things are hidden, some things are revealed, and some things neither hidden nor revealed. Then immediately at the close of Matthew 11, the Lord invites those who understand what has been revealed. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He said, Learn of me. You can learn many things from Jesus if you will submit to his yoke. A yoke fits on the neck of two oxen and makes it possible for them to carry a heavier load. When we wear the yoke of Christ, he helps us carry the load of the loss of a Christian loved one. The yoke of Christ helps us carry the load of sickness and disappointments. The yoke of Christ helps us bear the load of our natural depravities. The yoke of Christ is the easiest and most comfortable way to live, because Proverbs 13:15 tells us, The way of the transgressor is hard. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.